Proverbs says, do not be quick to leave a king's presence. And so, Lord, we acknowledge your presence. And Lord, we just take a moment and we're not quick to just move to the next thing. But Lord, we pause for a moment, and you can do in a moment's time. One word from the master, life changes. One touch of grace, our lives are different. And all your promises in Christ are yes and amen. They're already yes. They're already yes in you. And we, by faith, say the amen to all your promises. Lord, I'm asking this specific day that not one person leaves this room carrying out what they carried in. But Lord, for a tremendous freedom that can only come from your hand. Father, we lean into your word. And Lord, thank you that you have words beyond my voice that Holy Spirit is going to illuminate in the hearts and minds of people. Because, Lord, you are here. You have gathered with your family today, and you're a good father. And we bless you and we honor you today. In Jesus' name, would you just give me a hearty yes and amen?
Yes, amen.
Could you turn to someone and say, I'm ready to hear God's word? Could you tell them that right now? Just, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm really ready. Hey, next week, pray for us. Next week, we have our live experience. It's a gathering. There's going to be about 10 of us, Deb and I and some of our leaders and six people are we gather, and it's an intense weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, where we just invest in the hearts and lives of people. And it's going to be a great weekend. So if we're not here next week and we're not playing hooky, we are investing in the lives of people, and we'll be doing this throughout the year. And if it's something you're interested in, we'd love to explain more about what this is about. It's helping to find purpose, destiny, God's design for you, and also how to walk in freedom, forgiveness. It's a great weekend, and so it's a launching time. And so if we're not here, that's where we're going to be at. Also, I just want to affirm a few things. Man, Jeff just nailed it last Sunday. Man, he did. Yeah, he nailed it. And so every Sunday, every time I hear a message, I have a Bible and I have a pen and I have a notepad because I'm anticipating hearing something from God. And as he was talking, if you remember, if you're here last week, he was talking about the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You guys remember that? Hebrews chapter 4. Do you remember he was telling the story when Jesus has this woman, think about this, she's caught in the very act of having sex with a man. She's dragged out of the house. Now, do you think she was fully clothed and fully dressed and fully, you know, prepared, makeup and hair done and everything, right? This had to be a very embarrassing, awkward place for her to be. She's dragged out of the house, and this, as Jeff was telling the story, and I'm listening, dragged out of the house and thrown in front of Jesus, and here's a bunch of angry men, different ages, with rocks in their hands, screaming at Jesus, she needs to die. The law says she needs to die. The law needs to, and they were right. What is Jesus going to do? Remember the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice that Jesus doesn't do this. Oh, there's a naked woman in front of me. Oh, I missed a holy and pure. Get the woman a robe, and then I'll minister to her. Doesn't do that. Also, he doesn't say, oh, I know all your sins, so you want some of this? I'll bring you, he doesn't do that either, right? Here's why. Jesus' filter in life was not law, but it was love. And Jeff said something last week. He said, hey, guys, if you have difficulty with lust, and then put a filter on your spam, or put a filter on your computer. Get rid of Netflix. I mean, do what you have to do to keep your heart honorable to the Lord. But here's the other thing. Don't stop there. Because just protecting your heart doesn't change the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So what needs to happen? In those areas where we feel and where we feel vulnerable to, we invite the Lord to have our hearts filled with more love so that we're not just saying no to something, we're saying yes to love so that now our lives can be pure as we deal with real life situations. So we as Christians, Ephesians chapter 2 says we are saved by grace, but too often we're saved by grace, but we still live by law. And what I mean by that is, I can't go there, I can't say that, I can't do this, I can't look at that. And instead of living in this grace life, we live in law life. And I'll tell you something, I'm in law in some ways, and here's one of the ways I'm in law. I have to put laws of how much news I will watch every day. Because if I watch too much news, I start talking to the television. Anybody can relate to that? Right? And my wife will say, you do realize you're talking to the TV. And I say, well, they're watching this anyways. I hope they listen to me. Right? Okay? Right? They're in my life. Come on, I'm going to talk. So I have to have laws of how much I'm going to take, because here's what the Bible calls me to do. Can I love a person even if I am diametrically opposed to what they believe in? Can I say, I am totally against what your law is? I'm totally against what you think is right. I'm totally against this, but I love you. I'm not there yet. So I have to put some parameters around my life. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm inviting the Lord that when I hear people spouting stuff and go, man, that is just stupid. Are you kidding me? You really believe that? Instead of commenting at a TV, Father, put love in my heart, because until I love, I can have no influence on people's lives. Does that make sense? So you might say, I can't go here, I can't go there. Great, do that, but don't stop there. Invite the Lord to make love your law. And I'm going to give you a scripture verse, and then we're going to get into our teaching today. So I'm not re-preaching Jeff, but man, he nailed it last week, and I just want to affirm this. So Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says this, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So dear ones, how many of you got areas where you still need to live by some laws because love hasn't grown yet, right? Right? Okay, stay there, but don't stay there. Love will be your filter so that you can face any situation, and your thoughts and your intents of your heart is love. I thought Jeff did a good job last week, so there. High five somebody and say, come on, let's love each other. Come on, let's do it. Come on, it's a love church. Okay. This morning, Jeff and I want to invite you into our conversation. This is not, I really want to ask you, please don't let this be, well, that was a good sermon, or I want you to really join with us in thinking, because you have all given us a great gift, and the gift is this, we get to start a brand new church. So it's not just a new name, it's not just two people come, we are beginning a brand new church. And so in starting this brand new church, what is the foundation of the church? What are we going to build on? And Jeff and I, we're going to give language. We both have different giftings. We're saying the same thing, but with different language. And so we want to start giving you some whys Echo Hill Church and a little bit of how Echo Church. Why Echo Church? Why couldn't we have stayed Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel? Why not? Why did we do this? Why isn't that we just had to come together? Is it so we could have more people coming? Is it so that we can consolidate and it's more wise when it comes to money? Is it so that we can just look good because we've got more people sitting in the building? No, that's not it at all. Why are we doing this and how are we doing this? And here's what I want to present to you as we lay this foundation of Echo Hills Church. I have been a full-time pastor for 36 years. I know I don't look that old. Thank you for saying that. But 36 years. In 36 years, I have seen many different movements that God has done in our country. You guys, some of you might remember the Jesus movement when all these hippies started coming to church, right? And, you know, you have to wear a suit and tie, and all of a sudden these people and guys in long hair didn't cut their hair. I bet they weren't Republicans either. Anyways, moving on. All these hippies started coming to church, and it was like, wow, and this movement started happening. Do you guys remember the charismatic movement, right? When all of a sudden God started signs and wonders and miracles. That was really, really cool. And then if you remember, there's other movements that began to take place. You had revivals like in Toronto, the Toronto Blessing. You had Brownsville Revival. You had all these different moves of God, and everyone's like, yeah, this is it. And it was awesome. And then there was the seeker-sensitive movement, and we had all these different focuses on what church is about. And I think God was in all of them. But I don't think it was the full picture of what he wanted to do. So Echo Hills Church, what are we going to be about? When people say, "What if you go to church, what are you about?" What are we going to say? What is Echo Hills Church about? Are we a revival church? Absolutely we are. Are we a presence church? Definitely. Are we a sending church and an equipping church? Absolutely we are. How about multiple generations? Yes, yes, yes. How about signs and wonders? Yes, we're all that. But what we want to present to you today is that is the fruit of the foundation, and not the focus of the church. That if we get the foundation right, we will see the fruit of this. And here's our thought that we want to present to you for your consideration. I have been a pastor for over 36 years, and I have never experienced or been a part of what we feel God wants to lay as the foundation for Echo Hills Church. And here it is. Are you ready? Okay. I'm not going to. It's my secret. No. Here it is. We feel like the focus of the church needs to be here on Jesus' command, Jesus' covenant, and Jesus' prayer. Jesus' command is this: as I have loved you, love each other. By this, all men will know you're my disciples, when you love each other. That though I've been in parts of church that quoted that verse, that was not the intention of the church. That wasn't the focus of the church. The command of Jesus is, as I have loved you, those five words you got to get a grip on. As I have loved you, love each other. The second is Jesus in Luke 22. This is the covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. That the covenant of Jesus, the command of Jesus, and this is his covenant, the forgiveness of sins, where Jesus has come and he's paid the price for all of our sins. Somebody say yes and amen to that. Amen. That is his covenant with us. We haven't done anything. He did it all for us. So his command, as I loved you, my covenant of my blood, and then my prayer, which we'll look at in John chapter 17, which Jesus said, we'll read it for sure. In John 17, Jesus said, my prayer for those who will believe in their message was one thing, unity. And we believe as a church, if we will focus in on the covenant of Jesus, the command of Jesus, and the prayer of Jesus, will we be a presence church? Absolutely. Will be a discipleship and making church? Absolutely. Will we see generations healed and saved? And absolutely. But our focus has to be on Jesus, on his command, his covenant, and his prayer. So when you think church is going to be different, well, we still have service, we still do worship, we still receive an offering, we still have teaching. How is it that different? See, that's not what the focus has to be on. The focus has to be on what Jesus told us to do. And so what we see in the Bible, in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, I'm just kind of talking with you guys, and we'll actually break something down in a moment. In Acts chapter 1, you see in Acts 1:14 that all the disciples were together in one place. In Acts chapter 2, you see the disciples are together, and then the Spirit of God came. All together doesn't mean they were just gathered in a room like this. It means that they were following the command and the covenant of Jesus and the prayer of Jesus. When they were all together, they were together in their heart. They were together as one. They were together in unity. They were together for the purposes of God. They were all together. And in that place, at that time, then the Holy Spirit came upon them. What do we have? We've got presence. And then Peter stands up under the anointing and he preaches. And then we have 3,000 being saved. What do we have? Evangelism. And then you see people selling their possessions and giving it to take care of the needs of the poor. What do we have? We have outreach. And then the disciples are doing miracles and healings. And what do we have? We've got the power of God being demonstrated. And then we see that in the city of Jerusalem, they were in awe of the church. And the Bible says that the Lord added daily those who are being saved. And here's what I want to propose to you. God has already given his church a blueprint of how it's supposed to work. Let's just do it his way. We don't have to be all that creative. We don't have to figure stuff out. We don't have to all. He's already shown us how to do it. And the evidence of it is Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, where you see everything that we want the church to be is actually taking place. But what was the commitment of the first disciples? To the commandment of Jesus, to the prayer of Jesus, and the covenant of Jesus. Is this making sense? We want dialogue. We want feedback. We want, let's talk. Let's reason. Because we have voice, but we all have a voice. We all have a picture. What I love about Jeff is that his... Is it okay if I call you Jeff and not Pastor Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Just call me Pastor Mike. Anyways, moving on. Elder Bishop, Prophet, Apostle, carries, walks in all nine gifts of the Spirit, and anyways. Okay, we got to open the Bible, or it's not a real service. Okay, John chapter 17, I'm just kind of laying some foundation, and then I'm going to have two quick points out of Matthew 28 on going and making disciples. In John chapter 17, this is Jesus' prayer, my prayer. So we've got my command, my covenant, and now my prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as in the same manner, in the same ability as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Crucial line right there. Verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Pause. Pause. The same weight, the same infinite intrinsic worth that God gave his son, Jesus says, I now give it to you. You are now carriers of the glory of God. You are right now are this amazing people that God, Jesus says, the same glory I carry, you carry. Okay, so what does that glory do? What is that glory supposed to be for? And Jesus says it this way, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. See, the glory isn't to say, look at me. The glory is for unity. The glory is that we walk in a oneness of heart. And then Jesus says, I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. See how our relationship with each other will affect our world around us. And when Jesus said, may they be brought to complete unity, that word means this, the end goal, the final aim, that this is God's final aim. And here's what this is going to look like, where Jesus said, may they be brought to complete unity. It means to walk in full strength, full capacity, full effectiveness. That when we walk under his prayer and walk under his command and walk under his covenant, that his people are going to walk in full strength, full effectiveness, full capacity. What does that look like? Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What do you see? You see the church walking in a fullness of strength, capacity, and effectiveness. It's already there. It's hidden in plain sight. It's right there. So will we have church services? Yes, we will. Will we have worship? Yes, we will. Yes. But our focus has to be on the commandment, the covenant, and the prayer. So what are you about? Man, we're about unity. We're about learning to love as Jesus loved us. We're learning how to love. See, the questions are so different when you come from that perspective. When you come from this idea that I am to love the person right in front of me, it doesn't matter if I like him or not. I have to learn now, as Jesus loved me, to express that love to that person. By this, the love we share, they will know we are, who? The world will know that we are his disciples. So Jesus in Matthew 28, Marnie, I'm all over the map, so stay with me, dear one. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28, and let's focus on a couple things, and I'm almost done. Wow, it's only 11 o'clock. Oh, man, let's slow this thing down a little bit. Hey, my Niners are playing today. They're 6-0. Oh, no, sorry. Matthew 28. Wow. Would you read this out loud with me? This is how the NIV. Read out loud. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some, that word doubted means they weren't sure. It wasn't that they were like, this isn't real. It's like you're here today, you're checking out Echo Hills Church, and you're like, yeah, but I'm not sure. That's where the disciples were. They had seen so much that they just weren't sure all that was going on, but they still followed the Lord. Keep going. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them, read with me, and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. 19? Oh, wow. Okay, so I get to read the rest of it. It's okay. All authority on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Oh, you got the Holy Spirit. I don't know where to look right now. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the... Okay, so now Jesus shows us how to follow the command, the covenant, and the prayer. This is the practical way in which we establish what he said, because by this, all men will know you're my disciples, okay? So how do we make disciples? How do we do this? Jesus is showing us practically how you and I make people who are committed to the command, the covenant, and the prayer. The first thing is baptism. Now, in water baptism, notice that he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really important because I learned something this week. I thought that when a person was baptized, it was this: I am a sinner, and I'm publicly confessing I have died, and now I come to life, and I am a new creation in Christ. And we all celebrate and go, yeah, but this baptism has a different meaning. In John chapter 3, verse 3, as John was baptizing in the Jordan, it says he was preaching a gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins. So when John the Baptist baptized people, he wasn't baptizing them in the name of John. He was baptizing them for forgiveness of sin. We see in Acts chapter 19, when Paul comes to Ephesus and he finds 12 believers there, and he asks them this question: what baptism have you been baptized in? And they said, it is the baptism of John. And Paul responds by saying, that is a baptism of repentance of sin. John said there was one greater than him that will be coming. And then Paul baptized them into the name of Jesus, right? And then they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. In 1 Corinthians 1, when Paul is saying, who are you going to follow? Is it Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or Christ? Paul says this. He asked the church, did Paul die for you? Was I crucified for you? And he says, were you baptized into the name of Paul? Why is that important? Because whoever you baptize into, whatever name you were baptized into, you are declaring your allegiance, your full service to the person whose name you were baptized into. The water baptism, yes, is a baptism of repentance, but it's so much more than that. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them into the name, what he is saying is, when you are baptized into the name, you are publicly declaring that Jesus is my teacher, that I'm living the way they told me to live. I'm following their declarations, that I am fully committed to be a learner of the way that God teaches me to live. See, it's more than I was saved, and now I get to go to heaven. It is, I am making a declaration to all the world. Their way is my way. My allegiance to them is number one. It's not to anybody else. My allegiance is to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And how they teach me to live, I'm going to live that way. I'm going to learn how to live the way they teach me to live. I was thinking I might need to get baptized again because I was saved. Yay. But this is so much more. I'm a follower of God. Now, how do I know? How can I reflect? How will people know that I'm a follower of God? In what way can they say, that guy follows Jesus? How will they know it? This is the second part of discipleship. And Jesus said this, so baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. This idea of teaching is not just lecture like we have here. It's with word and with action. So in Acts chapter 1, he said, Luke wrote to Theophilus, I begin to write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So this idea of teaching people is, look at my life and hear my words. So Jesus would teach and then he would demonstrate. He would teach and he would demonstrate, or he would demonstrate and he would teach. So he was discipling his guys by what he did and taught. So Jesus said, teaching them to obey, and here's that word again. Obedience is not a mindless surrender to a deity that says, your way is right, and I have no opinion, I have no right to say anything, I'm just going to follow you. That's not obedience. The word obedience means this. Oh, I love this word. Everybody with me still? You with me? Let me get it right down. To guard and protect from loss by never taking your eyes off it. We talked about when little kids, you're at a park and you're talking to adults and you're having this conversation and your kids are playing. And though you're talking, your eyes are never off what's valuable. That you are having this conversation, but you have this unspoken understanding. I am not taking my eyes off my kids. Why? The value of my children are so important to me. I'm never losing sight of it. So when Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, it means focus, be vigilant, protect this. Don't ever lose sight of this, ever. You can't lose sight of it. What is it that we're to never lose sight of? What I commanded. So now we have to ask this question. What did Jesus command? And as you read through the New Testament, and this is, I'd love to have feedback from you. As you read the New Testament, Jesus would use a commanding voice often. So the storm is raging, and he would command, be still, and the storm would stop. He would see blind eyes or a demon possessed, and he would cast it out with a commanding voice. The temple has been turned into a place where thieves are changing money, and Jesus tears them out and says, no, this will be a house of prayer. It was a commanding voice. But as you look through the New Testament, the only place where you find command, my command, is John 12, 13, 34, and 35. This is my command. As I've loved you, love each other. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. That when Jesus is telling us to make disciples, he's telling us that through voice, words, and actions, that we are to keep the focus of what his only command in the New Testament was, as I've loved you, love each other. So how do I know that my public declaration is I'm all in the lifestyle? Here's what it's going to look like. The way in which we love each other will show the world the reality of our relationship with him. And we are to be learners of this and never take our eyes off it. By this, the world around us will know we're his disciples. By this. Not by these, it's by this. So how is Echo Hills going to be different? How are we going to have, you know, what's going to be different about us? This is one of the main foundational ways. We are going to give ourselves to the command of Jesus, the covenant of Jesus, and the prayer of Jesus. That whatever we do, it's through the command, as I've loved you, love each other. By this is my blood of the new covenant. It's the covenant relationship. Lord, as you were one with the Father, let us be one with each other. So when God, and as God continues to do things in our midst, as God starts healing people in greater dimension, and he is, he's starting to heal people in dramatic ways. It's really, really cool. As God starts moving in power and presence, as God does this in greater, greater way, we say yes and amen, but that's not our identity. Our identity is found in the command, the covenant, and the prayer. Never lose sight of it. So what do I do with my family? The family, you know, I'm raising. How do I do this with my family? If you make these three the focus of your family will be walking into the purposes of God for their lives. So we see it this way. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's that same language. It's about love, covenant, and unity. And where there is not love, covenant, and unity, we as the people of God have to go back to discipleship and say, I'm baptized under the name. I'm all in the way in which he wants me to live. And I am going to learn the way of my teachers. And I'm committing myself to what he said a disciple looks like. Imagine a church. Imagine with me. Someone stands up here or someone does something and it just bombs. It's just awful. Right? It's just they get up and they try to do something and it was like, oh, you missed it by a mile, dear one. But instead of feeling judged, we love them as Christ loved them. Can you imagine the freedom it will bring to a body of believers where they know they come into a family that's going to be loved as Christ loved them? Now it's not like there is a child running around with a flag. Get them under control. Stop that. We're not about that. We're about loving people the way Christ loved them. And here's the thing. Now we have to really be open to what Holy Spirit says, because like when it comes to sin, Ephesians 5 says expose it. 1 Peter 4 says to cover it. So which one is it? Yes, both. We need to know what the Holy Spirit is saying. Do we expose the sin in love or do we cover it in love? See, now it's not just a church that has these rules. It's a church that's living in touch with the Holy Spirit who is saying, oh, son, what you need to do right now, you just need to cover that sin. It's going to be okay. But it's okay. Just cover it right now. That's what the Father's calling you to do in love. Or maybe the Father's saying, that's going to really destroy them. We need to expose that. Not to embarrass them, not to shame them, not to make them feel less than, but because we love them. See, if we do it in love, it changes lives, or it gives them potential to. And you know what? If you and I try to live a life of love the way Jesus calls us to on our own, you are going to hurt yourself because there's no way we can do it. That's the point. It's the point. We can't do this by ourselves. That's the point. That's the whole reason. That's why we have the new covenant. That's why we have the command. That's why we have the prayer. We can't do it without him. But him in our lives, We find ourselves starting to talk to politicians like, I don't agree with you, but man, I sure love your heart. I love you with all my heart. Like Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, who's a mad king. Oh, king, if it was your enemies and not you. What? This guy was awful, but God gave a love for a mad king. And dear ones, as the church of Jesus Christ, we need to be salt and light. We need to be the love of Jesus. We need to have the kingdom come. His will be done. What does that look like? His kingdom is a kingdom of love. So if people come into our church and say, hey, I want to do this, and it's about me, and it's like, hey, listen, that's not what we're about. We're about learning and leaning into the love of Jesus. And if you want to come and learn about the love of Jesus with us, if you want to come and understand his command, we will love you, we will help you, we will serve you. But we're not about performance. We're not about image. We're not about all these things. We're about learning how to love. And dear ones, I have a long ways to go, but I'm on the trail and I'm not getting off. And I've been on this trail for 5 years. This is not a brand new thing from Valley Christian Center. You know, I've been teaching this for 5 years. This isn't a brand new thing, and I'm still learning about the great love of God. It's changing our lives. So Echo Hills Church, we're going to build this foundation. As I've loved you, love each other. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. This is my body, which was broken for you. This is the new covenant of my blood that I shed for you. And this is my prayer for you, that we would be one as you are one, Father. I have given you them my glory, that they may be one. Does it work? Absolutely. And it don't care how big the church is size. It's a people that are giving themselves to the command, the covenant, and the prayer of Jesus Christ. I've got one more verse for you, which gives us good orthodoxy and orthoproxy. Orthodoxy is what we believe. Orthoproxy is how we accomplish it. 1 John chapter 3. What I love about John, if you've read his letters, man, John is like love, 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 love. And you think, well, John was just kind of a loving dude, and he really wasn't. He was called the Son of Thunder. In fact, he and James, one time when they go through a Samaritan village, they rejected Jesus, and James and John says, can we call fire down from heaven and destroy them? You know, here's the love guy going, let's kill a bunch of people, right? And Jesus goes, man, that's not my spirit, for the Son of Man didn't come to destroy lives, but to save lives. The work of God in his life is so evident from a son of thunder to a man who's just, it's about the love of God. And he writes in 1 John chapter 3, he writes, dear friends, verse 21, you might not have 21, that's okay. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. We receive anything, receive from him anything we ask. Why? Because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Ephesians 5 says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, rather expose them. So this idea is not shaming, this idea, and then he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. This is what pleases the Lord. And this is his command, here it is, to believe in the name. Remember, it's not to believe in Jesus, to believe in the name. When I believe in the name of something, I'm aligning myself with them. To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. So here's what it is. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Yeah, this is. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Okay, when you say I believe in the name of Jesus, then you say, I am choosing to align myself with their way of living. I'm not sure what that looks like, but I'm going to give myself to learn. And if I don't know, I read and I ask other people, would you help teach me to align myself with the way Jesus teaches me to live? And then secondly, how you doing? Do you got your love on? How is it about loving? This is what pleases God. How are you at loving people? What about those who have a different sexual orientation than you do? How are you doing with loving them? How are you doing about those who have a different stance on life than you do? How are you doing at loving them? How are we doing in unity? How are we doing in the prayer of Jesus? I carry a glory. So now I have to lean into and learn to, what does unity look like? And what it doesn't look like is one person saying, you do this, and we say, okay, that's not biblical unity. Biblical unity is based on such a love for each other that we prefer you before ourselves. Imagine with me a church. Imagine with me Echo Hills. And then go a little bit further. What if all the churches of the valley said, we are going to adopt the command, the covenant, and the prayer of Jesus? Our valley would change so fast. My persuasion, our valley would change so fast because the people of God are giving themselves to what Jesus said. This is important. This is number one. This is it. Thank you, dear one. What is your name? Jessica, the Lord is so on your life, and he is really setting you into a new place of liberty and freedom. It's resonating with you because this is what you've been thirsting for. It's been what you've been looking for. And the Lord is doing this in your heart and life. And I need a lady to come just lay hands on Jessica, right? I mean, right now, I need a lady to come lay hands on her. Come on. Hey, let's do this. If this is resonating in your heart, and if you don't stand, it's not going to be like, you're one of those people, aren't you? No, but there's something resonating in your heart that says, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I want to be a part of and give myself to. If that is resonating in your heart, would you please stand with me? Because Jessica is a first fruits of what God is going to be doing in bringing people and ascending us into the lives of other people. My God. We're going to first bless Jessica. Father, let's release love on Jessica, family. Let's just release the love of Jesus on her. Lord, we bless Jessica. Father, we bless that she has been searching and thirsting for the reality of love. And in Jesus' name, we bless what you're doing in her life. We see it. It's obvious. It's evident, God, that she is so hungry for this, and you are going to fill her, Lord. And we pray for an infilling of your presence, an infilling of your love. And we as family just surround her and say, we love you, Jessica. And we are going to learn how to love you. We're going to need to learn how to love you more. We want to learn how to do this because we're committed to the command of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Jessica. Now, dear ones, would you just lift your hands to the Lord in whatever posture you want. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I know this message can create more questions than answers. And that's good. It's really, really good. But Father, I pray that as we commit ourselves to the command, the covenant, and the prayer, that the evidence is real life transformation in our own hearts. That, Lord, that we are a people that are being changed and transformed into the image of the one who loved us and gave himself up for us. And Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would be Echo Hills known, not for a building, not for a location, not for anything else, Lord, but they would say, those people, they love as Christ loves. Those people understand the forgiveness of sin. Those people are committed to unity. And Lord, in Jesus' name, would you teach us, God? Father, teach us your ways. We're learners. We don't know. We don't know everything, God. But God, we know and we see from your word how you brought such change to the hearts of people because of who you were. And now you commission us as I have. This is my covenant and this is my prayer. Let us be a people who never take our eyes off of what you've called us to do and be. And let the beauty of it be that this valley sees the beautiful picture of Jesus through his people. So that the world may know that you're my disciples. So that the world may believe that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That they would see it, God, because of the way in which we love and the way in which we pray. And the way in which we celebrate salvation. Let it be done, Father, in the name of Jesus. Ah. I read a book from a man named Leonard Evans, and with this I'm done. Leonard Evans in the 1970s, he was a well-educated, I think, Princeton man, and graduated from Princeton College and started teaching, but he wasn't seeing change in the lives of his people. And he was crying out to God, and the Lord highlighted John 13:34 and 35. And he began preaching it over and over and over again. His elders came to him and said, you need to preach about something else because there's more in the Bible than love. And he goes, okay. And so he preached on something else and just got back to love. So he started here and got back to love. And what he saw was such a transformation of people's lives that his church changed so dramatically because they got a hold of the commandment of Jesus. And he said this. He said, I look at it this way. When you take a garden hose and you attach it to the faucet, you don't take the end of the hose and try to put the water back up into the faucet. You let the water flow through you. And dear ones, when we attach ourselves to Jesus, the love should flow from us to others. Because whatever you're attached to, it'll flow out. And how do we stay attached to Jesus? The covenant. We are attached by the covenant that we are in relationship with him. And you guys get the benefit. Others get the benefit because like water, love flows from our lives to people who need to know the real love of God. So be a good garden hose this week.